So when they win, we win. Okay, we produce more. It ultimately lowers our team overhead. Therefore, we're more profitable and we're doing more.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. I just had a nice Raising Cane chicken tendy. Man, that was good. Two tendies, actually. Shout out to Dr. Jeff Orr for sending those tenders to our office. We let him borrow a 4x3x11.5 Newton GM implant. And he sent us some Raising Canes in return. So that's a pretty good deal. Raising Canes for 35 people for borrowing an implant. Anyways, hope you're having a great day. Super excited about this episode. We're going to talk about bonus structures today because, you know, that's something that everybody wants to talk about. How do you bonus your team, incentivize your team? Like, what does that look like? How do you develop and do that over your growth? So I'm excited to have this discussion with everyone today. Hey, if you're not on the app, please come join the app. Like, again, we have this app. It's called the 3D Pro app, 3D Dentist. You can go search the app store, Android store, 3D Dentist, 3D Pro community. It's great. Online content. It's free to join. Like, lots of good free content. Go to the free resources section there and you'll see lots of good content. Some discounts, some promotions. Yeah, be a part of the community. So that's my sell today. Come get great free stuff on the app. That's a pretty low hanging fruit there, but you know what? You should do it. Okay, so first off, I leave for Disney tomorrow, so that's exciting. I'm very pumped about that. So if you see me, you'll have to ask me how Disney was with the kiddos. It's Evans and Andrea's first time, so that's exciting. There's something just magical about Disney. And I'm very excited to get to share that experience with them. Like, your first time visit, it's magical. Even if you're not a Disney person, you go to Disney World, it's magical. A lot to learn. So I'll probably have some feedback from just things I learned at Disney on how it can impact our businesses, because Disney does a lot of things really well. Okay, so you're at a point where you're growing, you're trying to change things, you're trying to get your office moving in the right direction, and you're wanting to add things. You're requiring or asking of them, your team members, to do more. Naturally, what's going to come in next is, well, do I get paid more? How do we get bonused? If the practice starts doing better, people are going to see that and they're going to want to share the piece of the pie. At 3D Dentists, we also believe that, like, we want to reward, grow, and level up our team. I want my team to be the highest paid, have the most fun, most well-trained. Like, these are things that I genuinely desire for our team. But that comes at the cost that we have to do well and we have to produce and we have to perform. Otherwise, there's not enough to go around. So one of the worst things that I see is people base bonuses off of emotion and not off of data. So we're going to talk about how to get started with bonuses, how to really analytically look at bonuses. And then we're even going to get into later in the episode, how do I create individual specialized niche bonuses for certain team members? So we have a lot to cover today. So number one is, how do I get started? Well, what I like to see people do from a bonus structure initially is that we move towards behavioral reinforcement training. And what I mean by that is, let's say that you've been listening to this podcast and you hear us talk about photos, taking digital impressions, these type of things on our patients, and you're like, I want to get this off the ground. Well, I think this is a great opportunity to introduce a bonus around specific behavioral treatment or modification. So something like this: if we can take photos on all of our new patients this month, then we'll have team breakfast, right? And we're going to order Chick-fil-A. We'll get some Starbucks coffees and we will have a nice big team breakfast. Let's say that we get 15 Google reviews this month and we take digital impressions on all our new patients. We send home 10 sleep studies this month. Things that are new and getting introduced, then we have some sort of behavioral modification bonus. Things that work good in dental offices are going to be like mani-pedis, right? Send everybody to get a manicure or pedicure. I brought in a massage therapist before, like one of those airport massage therapist type people. She's a real massage therapist. Not that they're not, but they bring in that chair. And then we did 30-minute massages for our entire team. They just rotated through the day. We've done, obviously, meals. We've done like a $20 random gift card drawing. You know, you get $20 gift cards, all these different places, and then they draw. And so it's like Tractor Supply, you know, TJ Maxx, Zaxby's, Raising Cane's. These are really good ways to do it without creating some sort of bonus that is expected, you can't get out of, but it does have good impact on behavioral change. So for those of you looking to get started with doing something like this or trying to get behavior to change or get started, I think these are great ways to do it. So that's step one. Now, at some point, I will kind of always do those because I'm always kind of implementing new things. But that we need to go beyond that at some point. Okay, so now let's kind of move into layer two. Layer two is going to be what we teach at 3D, which is just our, it's not like unique to us. I mean, this is a collaboration of just, you know, hearing and using, et cetera, different systems from other places throughout the years. But what we have found that works, and this works universally, whether you're fee-for-service, PPO, you live in downtown Atlanta, or whether you live in rural Wisconsin, this works. And that is that we do a bonus based off of the team, total team payroll percentage. And that becomes our benchmark metric because we know that in the dental office, the most expensive thing outside of the dentist, because the dentist is the most expensive thing, is the team, right? Your team payroll makes up somewhere between 20 and 30% of your entire business. And so if your practice is $1 million, your payroll probably is $250,000 of it. That's the biggest expense. You think about labs, supplies, that's like maybe 10, 12% combined. Marketing's 3 or 4%. It is drastically the largest expense that we have. And so it's this expense that gets out of hand. And then when it gets out of hand, it has a significant impact on our bottom line and our profitability. So step one is you got to assess where you're at in this. Now, kind of continue to go down this path. What we do is we take our total team payroll amount, and then we also add a kicker on top of it because we want to make sure that we're covering those expenses that you don't think of that are associated with team payroll. This would be like payroll taxes, the cost to, you know, have these employees and that you pay. It could be a retirement plan. It could be that you pay for their scrubs, their meals, their CE, whatever it is that you pay that goes towards the team needs to be in this number. Associates are not counted in this number. So that's I need to be very clear on that. The reason associates are not is because they're a one-to-one, meaning they are paid based off what it's a eat what you kill, right? So if my associate produces nothing, they get paid nothing. If they produce, they get paid. So we don't include associates in this. This is just team members. So we add up all of their payroll, and then we're going to divide that by 25%. That's a good place to start. And that's going to tell us what our BAM, or bare ass minimum, or our goal, where we will start to be able to bonus. Start to be able to bonus. And so if your, let's call it, your monthly team overhead, because that's kind of the number we want to get to, is, let's call it $25,000 for easy math, then that means that my BAM is going to be, I should have done 20,000. That'd be easier math. So let me back up. Let's say my BAM, my team payroll is $20,000. That means my BAM needs to be $100,000. That would put it at 20%, which would be great. Let's go back to my original number. If I haven't lost you, I apologize. So $25,000 is my team payroll. That means my BAM needs to be 100%, right? So that makes up 25% of my overall collections that month. Is my team payroll. If you're $50,000, then it needs to be 200 grand. So on and so on and so on. If we keep that metric in line, the majority of the profitability will work. If there have to be something glaring going on like a really big issue for you not to be doing well at that point. Now, what we're seeing is in certain areas of this of the country, whether it's the Northwest, Northeast, we're seeing some payrolls get out of hand just because of the cost of new team members. And so we're having to recognize that if you're in a really, really area where that's happening, you're probably going to be closer to that 30% number. And then if you're really, really rural, maybe you're closer to that 20% number. But that's kind of the gauge that we want to be at. And then 25% kind of being the more or less universal number that we go off of. So the way that the bonus works is once I clear that number, okay, once I clear that number, then I'm going to pay 20% of every dollar over that number to the team. So let's say that my team payroll costs, I'm going to use a calculator now because clearly I can't just do this off my head. Let's say it's $65,000 for the month. We divide that by 0.25. That means our BAM for the month is $260,000. Okay, that's what I need to do on a monthly basis. Now let's make it, let's go maybe a little smaller just so maybe that's unrealistic for most. Let's say our payroll is $48,000. We divide that by, again, 0.25. Now it's 192 grand. So we'll go with this one. So your BAM for the month is $192,000. Now what's important to convey to the team is that's not where they bonus. Like if they get $192,000, we don't now get a bonus. We broke even. So a better way to think about this would be that once I know the BAM, I need to set a number above it. And that's the number we're going to shoot for. That becomes the goal. If you tell people the goal is BAM and then we get there, no one bonuses, they're not going to be happy. And what's cool about this is the smart employees will start to figure out and reverse engineer what they want their bonus to be, what number they need to get to. And so let's say that we do $210,000 in a month. We'll do 210 minus the 192 to give us the difference. That's $18,000. And then we're going to multiply that times 20%, 0.2. And that gives us $3,600. So now I have $3,600 to give away. That's the pot of the bonus. Okay. So again, we set our BAM based off team payroll. You calculate your monthly team payroll. You add some kicker to it. You could take your team payroll, maybe add like 15%, 20%, something like that. That would help. Now we have our BAM number. And then every dollar over the BAM, we're going to multiply times 20%. And that's going to give us the pot that we have to give out. So in our example, we had $192,000 BAM. We did $210,000. And now we spit out $3,600 in bonus. Now, let's kind of keep going down this. So what this means is that I've got $3,600 to give away. And so typically where we advise people starting is you do this divided across the entire board. Okay, so if I have 8 employees, I do $3,600 divided by 8. Each employee gets $450 that month. Pretty cool, right? That's like working an extra day. And so that is how we calculate what that number would look like. Now, some nuances here. There's a lot of nuances. You may have to listen to this podcast twice. Nuance number one, we want to do a 3-month rolling average of our production or collection number. So in this instance, I kind of just use 1 month to say, okay, 210 to 192. So we take the difference, multiply times 20%, 3,600 is now our pot. What we really want to do is take the average of 3 months. So this month was 210. Last month was, let's call it 220. Great month. 210 plus 220. Plus, we had a bad month 2 months ago, 175 divided by 3. So our average is 201. So then we do 201 minus 192. That's 9,600 divided by 0.2%. That's 1,900. My pot's actually 1,900. So this is important because we want to average out the good months and the bad months, meaning they'll carry the good ones with them for 2 months, but they'll also carry the bad ones for 2 months. Your team members, whether on purpose or subliminally, will start to realize the game. And if you do it on a monthly basis, what happens is they'll start to maybe save checks, not push the insurance through, Like they recognize, oh, we're not going to hit BAM this month, so let's save it for next month. Then I'll input them all. Then we'll hit BAM. Then you got to pay out more. That's some shady stuff, but it happens. So we kind of get around this by averaging out over a three-month period. Now, we pay out every month, but it's taking an average of the previous 3 months to get there. Hopefully that makes sense. Nuance number two is that we now have the ability to curtail behavior and create rules around bonus eligibility. So if you get to the point where now all of a sudden we're starting to bonus every month, and that bonus is a couple hundred bucks, let's say $400 or $500 a day, now that can really help implement behavior, because if they don't follow the behavior, they could be ineligible or kicked out of the bonus. Some things that we do, for example, you could only miss more than one day that wasn't pre-planned. So you got to pre-plan your vacations. Otherwise, if you have 2, 3, 6 days in a month, you're out of the bonus. So guess what started happening? Team members would maybe be sick one day, and then they found a way to get back to work because they didn't want to be out of the bonus. Number two, if you show up late more than once in a month, you're kicked out of the bonus in our office. People show up on time. They're here early. They're ready to go. So you get to decide what those rules look like. Maybe it's dress code. Maybe it's working late. Maybe it's whatever the thing are. You get to decide that, implement those rules for bonus eligibility. So that's been really, really helpful for us as well. So again, kind of recapping what we've talked about so far. We've talked about implementing new things and creating non-financial or non-dollar bill related bonuses to get those changes. Manicures, pedicures, massages, gift cards, meals, breakfast, lunch, dinner, happy hours, those type things. Number two, we've talked about how at some point creating a whole team-wide BAM where everybody is basically split evenly, because it does require a team effort. People got to answer the phone to get the patients there. They got to get seen by hygienists. They got to get work done by assistants, and they got to be followed up with and closed by people. So like, it's a team effort. That is very helpful too. And we're going to take 20% of every dollar over the BAM. 20% is an important number because it is going to move your payroll down towards 20%. So if my BAM is set at a 25% based off team roll number, and now I do X dollars over that, and I'm only paying out 20%. So it's moving you down 24, 23, 22, and so on, the more that you do. So when they win, we win. Okay, we produce more. It ultimately lowers our team overhead. Therefore, we're more profitable and we're doing more. They win, we win. It's really good from all aspects. Number three, and this is what some of you have probably waited to hear, is, well, how do we then do individual team members as we grow? Because now everybody's not as equal. And I think this really starts to happen after 2 associates, after 12 team members or so. So if you're still a 2-doctor office with 12, 13 team members, I still think you're still better off with a BAM. Maybe you have one person, like an office leader, that has a significant impact. But I really don't believe you need to start having individual numbers. Once you get over that number, now we're doing maybe external marketing. There are some key people that play a lot more integral roles in our success. I'm good with looking at different bonus mentalities. So let's talk about some of those positions, roles, and differences. Number one is your office leader. I think that's typically where it starts, because the office leader, your director of operations, your office manager should be playing an integral role in the success. They're looking at how are we doing on our systems? Are we collecting our AR? They are my eyes, ears, and hands on the practice when I'm doing clinical dentistry. That person, I'm willing to, when I first started, throw a multiple kicker. And so what I mean by that is, instead of paying out one-to-one like I do the rest of the team members, so in the example we gave earlier where our bonus ended up being like $350 or $450 per team member, I would pay that out a multiple to my office leader. So in this situation, it doesn't penalize the other team members. They just get more. So that could be like a 1.5 multiple. So now instead of paying 450 to the office leader, like the other team members, I pay 450 times 1.5, which is 675. So their bonus is bigger. You could do 1.3. You could do 2x. You kind of have the ability to control that so that they are even more incentivized or have more upside if we get to that number. There was a time when I was doing this and it worked pretty well, and I had like my office leader on like a 1.5 multiple, and then I had my team leads on like a 1.3, 1.2 multiple. So these are just some creative ways to kind of, again, we got to be over the BAM before I'm bonusing you. But then once we get there, I want you to have more upside because you have more impact. All right. So then as we kind of continued to evolve, I recognized that we maybe needed something better because these were all based around top line growth, right? And it didn't necessarily control the bottom. So this one I'm almost hesitant even talking about, but I think it does start to be important for those offices that are growing to this, you know, now we're $3, $4, $5 million offices. Is if the office leader or operations person is now having an impact on our cost, meaning where they're helping run payroll, they know what people are paid, they're running the P&L, they're starting to look at our expenses for us, they're advocating us trying to save money so that our bottom line, what we spit out at the very bottom, is more money. Now, this is one that people are very often hesitant to get involved with because it basically means that they're going to know what the business is making. And you may not want them to know that. I have found that this has been helpful at our point. Now, we're an $8.2 million practice now. So again, things should look different as you grow. My bonus system for 1.5 to 2.5 was different than my bonus system from 2.5 or 3 to 5, which is different than my bonus system from 5 to 8. And it will probably look different when I get to 10. So that's my disclosure is that now we start looking off paying our operations person off of percentage of growth year over year on the bottom line. So meaning if you make my practice more profitable, I will share some of that profit with you. And so you develop a percentage around that so that now they're not only helping you grow the business, but they're also looking at where you can save money, you know, and then for me, this person's helping hire. So like, you know, whether they hire somebody for $32 an hour versus $35 an hour, like that plays a role. So they're looking at these percentages and starting to help you really tactfully find ways and areas where you can control overall expense so that you are a more profitable business. Now, let's move to the treatment coordinator, because this is another one I think that commonly people want to do. Maybe I should have put that first before the office leader. But once we start doing external marketing, now we can look at moving towards a model of I'm going to profit share with these treatment coordinators based off a percentage of revenue closed. So for every dollar you close, I'm going to pay you a couple percentage points of that revenue closed. This means that someone that closes $2 million over the year, if they're bonused off 3% of that, they could make an extra 60 grand. If they're bonused off 2% of that, it's an extra, what is that, 30 grand? Nope. So this is what happens. I just do the math on my calculator. 40 grand. Like, these are legit bonuses now, right? But if you can close $2 million for me, that's pretty impactful. So the dedicated treatment coordinator, once they get to a certain point, may not be included in the BAM number, because you can't be in both, but you're bonused off of how much you close so that you are focused on calling patients back, getting them in, like all the things that are fixated to this. You could pay them 0.5%, 1%, 0.25%. You've got to start small, see what moves the needle, and then you adjust from there. Remember, you can never go backwards. You can never go backwards. That's the key. But a lot of these treatment coordinator type people are the best treatment coordinators are people who are motivated by money. They're essentially a sales role in the dental practice. And so with that being known, I want to make sure that I'm compensating someone that aligns with their values. This is often different because we think about maybe certain other areas in the practice. We think maybe they want more money, but that may not be their total motivating factor. So this type of thing doesn't work for everybody. It's going to be more devoted to the people that do this. Whew. Now, I've heard offices that have considered doing this for hygiene. They pay them a bonus off of their percentage of production. These are things that I hate because one is it gets people away from the team atmosphere, which I think culturally is important. And the last thing I need is I want hygienists thinking that their value comes from the production that they do with their hands, meaning prophies, perio maintenance, fluoride delivery, sealants. They basically break even doing all that for me. Their real value comes in their treatment presentation, them being a mini treatment coordinator, and then the food that they deliver to my plate. So with all that being said, I want our general bonuses to be based around overall top line growth, not individual based, that get people thinking that, oh, well, if I sell two more fluorides, if my perio, my production goes up, great. I'll give you an example of this. My hygienist on average produced, let's call it 15 grand for easy math. Best case scenario, they outperform. Maybe they're doing $18,000, $19,000 a month. Best case scenario, an extra $4,000 a month. For all that talking, all that perio, all that whatever, all that fluoride, and the other opportunities they could talk about Invisalign or clear aligners, Candid. They could talk about implants. They could talk about airway. Now, obviously, I'm saying this from a standpoint of like, I'm making the assumption these people need these things. This isn't about just selling people random crap. But the reality is our bandwidth of our team members is limited. And so what they're processing and thinking about is going to not be everything. And so I don't want them to think that where they really are helping me is, oh, how many more prophies can I do? I need them to be aligned and understanding with the vision that we want to comprehensively treat our patients. And so therefore we've got to talk about these things and communicate in a way that patients understand. So for all that work to get an extra $5,000 in production on the hygiene side, that could be just literally getting one or two more implants to say yes, one or two more aligner cases to say yes. So philosophically, that's why I don't like individual hygiene bonuses around their production. All right, last but not least, now we've got people like your setter, your marketing. This could also be treatment coordinator too. And this is now based around like we could potentially look at paying a fixed dollar amount for getting people in the door, getting consults in, getting consults closed. Something like I pay for every consult that gets scheduled, every consult that shows up, they get paid $25. For every consult that closes, they get an additional $50. So this would incentivize the person who's following up with the leads, calling the leads to want to make those phone calls, want to get people on the schedule because they're directly incentivized for it. So this is kind of like, these are the big things that I would say we're doing in some combination of all of them to try and motivate and grow our team and business. It's not until we really get beyond that we do even any more stuff. Zach actually commented, Zach Barry, he said on our app, he said, I know that this has been discussed before, but does anybody have any good options or alternatives to treatment coordinators payout bonus structures? I'm moving a hygienist into that role. Again, my coaching to Zach here would be the bonus of moving away from hygiene, getting paid the same to not do back-breaking work, to be able to do this new role should be a bonus in itself. Now, they need to prove the concept that they can deliver some baseline number to justify paying them to do this role, right? So think of it like a mini BAM, meaning I shouldn't just bonus this hygienist off stuff they start closing because they got to cover their cost. And so on some level, I would say, hey, the minimum you have to close is X dollars. And then once you close over that, then I can maybe potentially look at giving you some more money. But don't just bonus somebody because you moved them into a new role, or don't just bonus them because like you think it's going to motivate them until you know you've cleared your cost. That's the whole point. And I think, generally speaking, what I see is I will hear about people's bonus systems, and then I will look at their numbers and look at the analytical data, and I'll be like, you're not even covering your cost. You're bonusing people before you even cover your cost. And that's not acceptable. We can't do that. We can't do that. That is only going to put us in a position of not being able to grow and do what we need to do to continue to survive. Woo! That was a lot. I hope you enjoyed it. There might be follow-up questions. Those follow-up questions should be posted on the app. Come search the app. Look up bonus discussion, treatment coordinating. You'll see lots of information around that. Man, it's good to be back. Hope you have a great day. Work smarter, not harder. And I hope to see you at the Practice Growth Summit in Orlando, Florida. It's going to be awesome. So if you're still on the fence, get there. Work smarter, not harder. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.